American economy continues to do very well. You know, unemployment at historical lows at 3.6%. GDP growth in the first quarter was 3.2%. More moderate predictions for quarter number two, but overall, the economy doing well. But with all of this going on, there are battles over trade that are ratcheting up. You've got the USMCA that has not come to resolution yet, although it is close. And then, of course, you've got this ongoing challenge between the United States, President Trump and President Xi, of China over tariffs that has ratcheted up dramatically over just the past few days. We thought there was a resolution at hand, and then the president accused the Chinese of trying to renegotiate at the table and turned around and jacked up the tariff to 25% on hundreds of billions of dollars of goods coming in. My next guest is an internationally renowned negotiation expert and best-selling author of Negotiating with Giants, Peter Johnston, joining me. Peter, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well, and so good to have you here. Obviously, what we're hearing in the Midwest, where I call home, when it comes to tariffs and so forth, is the impact it's having on agriculture, on farmers and so forth. But you write an article here recently that you say the hardball tactics against China might just work. What do you mean?
Well, Steve, in any negotiation like this, what you are trying to do ideally is create as much value as possible with your counterpart across a whole number of sectors. And you're trying to collaborate and do that in as much a manner where both sides' interests are satisfied. Where the Chinese have not been willing to meet American interests, and where apparently they pulled a few offers in the final days of negotiation, it makes sense that you push back. That is best practice, that you say this is not acceptable, and let's get back to talking about realities here. So in that sense, President Trump has sent the right signals. Now the question is, does he take advantage of having signaled very clearly what his intent is to get a deal for America?
Now, I guess my question, Peter, is this: for the average American, people like myself, I don't feel, at least not at this juncture, I don't feel any impact from the ongoing early phases of this trade battle back and forth. I don't know if it's a full-on trade war yet. It could get there, I suppose. But I don't feel anything so far. I'm not a farmer. I don't see it reflected in the price at the grocery store. What would it take for me as an average consumer in America to feel this international struggle?
I think you'll feel it in the next 3 to 6 months, certainly, as the tariffs take hold across the whole array of $500 billion worth of goods, you know, at 25%. If you imagine your own household, Steve, if I told you that three items that you like to purchase regularly, including Netflix and organic milk, we're going to go, and a new TV you were looking to purchase, and suddenly that those were going to go up 25% in cost, you might question whether you really need Netflix. Of course, you'll decide, yes, I want Netflix. Organic milk, you might look for substitute products. You might say, hey, we can do without the organic milk. Let's go back to basic milk and save some money on that front. And as for the new TV, maybe we hold off on getting a new television, or maybe we buy one right away because the tariff hasn't hit in that sector yet.
But so is the president, but let me ask you this, Peter, is the president doing the right thing? Because we know the Chinese, at least historically, and I believe it's probably still true today, they have a reputation of stealing American intellectual property. They have a reputation of saying, hey, we will open our markets to your goods, but only if you share your secrets with us. So then they go into competition with American companies and companies from all over the world, for that matter. Is the president right to try to hold the Chinese accountable for these, I don't know, vicious trade practices?
Well, if you frame it that way, then the answer would be yes. You have to hold the Chinese accountable. On the other hand, my concern here is that there is lots of room for agreement. I believe very much in the philosophy of coopetition, where you have to recognize that in a world of independence, in so many areas, The Chinese are a valuable counterpart, and let's not just paint them into a corner as an enemy. They hold lots of value for us, including their ability to help us rein in President Kim in North Korea. If you look at that as a priority, we need the Chinese on board in some areas, and in other areas, we just agree mutually. This is how good relationships work inside families as well with siblings. You can compete in other areas. And so I would say it's the president's done well to hold them to account. Where I am concerned this could get out of hand with poor communication and more of a competitive win-lose mentality is in the area of intellectual property. My understanding is that the Chinese are willing to move forward and protect intellectual property better for Americans operating in China. The concern is the Chinese will have to implement a whole range of new laws and police those laws in China. And the U.S. cannot be seen to be the one imposing those new laws on the Chinese, or it will go right
you'll
to
get
the top
pushback.
In terms of President Xi.
Yeah, you get a lot of pushback.
You'll get
that.
Pushback. Exactly. And you'll get, because President Xi himself and his reign will be at risk if the Chinese people perceive that the Americans are imposing this.
All right, Peter Johnston here, internationally renowned negotiating expert, best-selling author of Negotiating with Giants. I'm a bit of a pessimist, potentially, Peter, because I see this through a political lens as well. Is it possible that the president is playing hardball, at least to an extent, that may tamp down the economy in the United States for the next 6, 8, or 10 months, maybe a year, and then he'll find a resolution to the trade war with China sometime about a year from now, take those shackles off, and the American economy will boom right into November of 2020. Maybe I'm a little pessimistic. Maybe I'm a little jaded, but I see that as a possibility. Your quick thoughts.
It's possible, and it depends how the Chinese react. And certainly what you don't want to do with a counterpart in this situation is shame them into looking like they are supposed to agree, because they may just do the exact opposite, exactly for the reason I said. They have constituents in terms of the Chinese people, even though it's not a democracy, that can be very disruptive in terms of the dynamics on the Chinese side. So we don't want to corner the Chinese overly, because they may just dig in their heels and fight on this. President Trump has an election in 18 months he has to worry about. So the optimistic side would say that he's testing, he's pushing, but that they can get a deal just like they did with Canada and Mexico.
And the consensus is, Peter, that would be the best outcome. Peter Johnston, great having you here, internationally renowned negotiation expert and a best-selling author of Negotiating with Giants. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time today.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you for having me on. And Weapons of Peace is my second book, which incorporates the lesson. Negotiating with Giants is an opportunity to understand, influence, and hold our leaders to account on their approaches.
A little bit of trouble there. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Hey, parents, do kids think you're out of touch because of the way you dress?
Yes.
Well, say hello to instant style with Fashion On. Just spray Fashion On whatever you're wearing and look cool in an instant. Turn orthopedic shoes into vintage high tops, pleated khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
What about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling three jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.